You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Here on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, and this is the biggest show across North Alabama afternoons right now, Right Side Radio, and it's because of this audience, and we love you, and we appreciate it very much. It is Friday afternoon at 4:06 p.m., number three on the triple dipper for the day. I said I was going to talk about supply chain madness. There's things out there right now that are slow getting to the stores, slow getting out of the ports, slow moving across rail or through the trucking industry or wherever else. And it's not always because somebody's doing something wrong. Sometimes it's because something's not yet available or because there have been regulations put in place. And I wanted to go to a guy who I thought could bring some perspective from one of the industries involved in the supply chain. A friend of mine, Mark Colson. Mark and I got to know each other during my time in Montgomery. Mark, formerly with the Business Council of Alabama, now he's the CEO and president of the Alabama Trucking Association. With a undergraduate degree from Huntington College and a master's or MBA from Troy University. I'm glad to have him on the phone right now. Mark Colson, how are you, my brother?
Senator, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your availability. So listen, the main question I have is, will the presents that I've ordered for my grandson's Christmas, will they be here on time? That's all I want to know from you, Mark, right now.
If they've made it across the ocean, yes, probably. Otherwise, if they've got to make it through the Suez Canal or through one of the ports, who knows? But, you know, the Christmas presents, as I've always said, you know, the trucking industry is very proud to deliver over 86% of all goods to Alabama communities. Nationally, it's 78%. So, I mean, if you're going to move freight or finished goods or, like you said, presents to your house, it's going to come from a trucker. So I've always said crisis or Christmas, truckers deliver the goods. So I know there's a lot of folks out there right now working really hard to make those things happen.
Well, and I believe that's true. And I know some states like California don't make it easy with new regulations they've got about the kind of trucks you can drive in their state and all of that. But give me some perspective, man, because the reality is, the supply chain slowdown, it exists. I mean, we can see it just in local grocery stores. We can see it, you know, with farm to market. We can see it with ports to stores, whatever the case may be. Manufacturers having trouble getting component parts like chips. But what is your industry facing right now? How are things being dealt with from this perspective of the supply chain slowdowns through your industry right now?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk on this important issue. And, I mean, in your time in the legislature, you know this, Alabama's fortunate. I mean, we're a top 10 trucking state nationally. And I like to say we like to be top 10 in football. Well, we're top 10 in trucking. We have 112,000 people that work in our industry in the state of Alabama. That's one in 15 jobs in the state. Most people don't know that. There's over 36,000 truck drivers in our state. And we're, the truck driving CDL jobs and diesel technicians are on the top 10 list, local, state, and nationally. So important roles that we play. Let's take us back to 2020 and March of 2020 when the world shut down. Trucking did not. Many other industries did not. Some did, but we didn't. We restocked store shelves. Those men and women that work in this profession, whether it's a hurricane, any kind of natural disaster, truckers or first responders, us haul the goods. Just a recent hurricane down in New Orleans, a lot of aggregate material from Alabama was moved, to that area, sand, gravel, et cetera, water. And the same thing happened with COVID. But the difference with COVID was it was a worldwide, in America's case, a national. It affected all 50 states. It wasn't domiciled to a region. So that created significant challenges. And so, yeah, fast forward a year and a half later, I mean, you can't shut down the world's economy and not expect there to be serious consequences.
True.
There are a lot of positives that happened through the tragedy of COVID, both the COVID virus itself and also the human response to it, and more importantly, the government response to it. Remember, COVID didn't shut down the economy. Government responses to COVID shut down the economy.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're still dealing with today. What you see is when shutdowns occurred, demand, consumer demand actually increased if you go look, I'm not an economist, but if you go look at all the economic data out there, housing build, new startups, through the roof. Construction materials, all the stuff people bought when they were at home went through the roof, but consumer productivity went down, right, because we shut things down. It takes time for that global supply chain to catch up. You add on top of that, you know, confusing government regulations from the local, state, and federal levels. I would say Alabama fared better than most states because of good leadership. Again, not perfect leadership, but we had better leadership than some of the states that you cited, like California, who are still, right. I mean, just living in fantasy land some days. So what we've said we need from any government entity, local, state, or federal, is clarity and consistency. We need to know what to expect so that we can plan for it and meet the consumer needs. What we don't need is fear and confusion. And unfortunately, and sometimes from Republicans and Democrats, we get rhetoric or policies or regulations that only breed fear and confusion, and that's not the recipe for economic recovery.
No, it's not. And so, Mark, let me ask you this, because when we hear on the national level right now, like I read something recently from the National Association, and they were talking about there being a shortage within the industry of qualified drivers for a variety of reasons, some of which was, you know, perhaps they were, you know, receiving the enhanced unemployment compensation and it was easier to not go back to work. Others might have been scared of COVID, so they weren't going back to work. And we're also hearing that there's a difficulty within the industry for people, especially independent drivers, who don't feel like they should have to be forced to be vaccinated. All that to say, what are you guys seeing as an industry, especially with Alabama, with regards to your staffing for qualified drivers?
Look, the workforce shortages was a problem before COVID, and it's only been exacerbated by COVID. I want to be very clear about one thing. The truck driver shortage is not the reason for the supply chain challenges that we've had. All the reasons I just cited before are that. And every industry that hires skilled professionals is struggling. I mean, you're a lawyer. They were struggling to find lawyers, struggling to find accountants. I mean, white-collar jobs are struggling just as well. So that's because consumer demand is through the roof. We're not in a recessionary period currently. So I'm really proud of the Alabama trucking industry because for so long, we have not taken a leadership role in being a great partner to develop our future workforce, and that has changed. COVID sped up our efforts, but we were already working in that direction after I assumed this job in June of 2019. And I would say the titans of Alabama trucking, those great company leaders and individuals within our industry, men and women across the state, have said, we know this is a problem. We know we've got to be at the tip of the spear to fix it, and we've got to be a great partner to, you know, all the public institutions across the state through the community college system that have CDL programs and diesel tech programs. And we've really got to step that up. And we're doing some really innovative things. And I would say that within the next year and really 3 years from now, we sit down and have this conversation, it's going to be a whole different ballgame in the state of Alabama about how we nurture and grow the professional driver and diesel technicians for our industry for the future.
Okay, so I'm taking that, and you're a good advocate for your industry, I will say. But the question I've got is, or not, the interpretation I have of what was just said is, yes, there is a shortage right now, but you feel like y'all are making ground on trying to address that shortage, and it's not because of neglect; it's really because of situations within the economy and situations within the national shutdown, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, there have been issues that, like I said, the truck driver shortage was here before COVID and before this. And by the way, this supply chain challenge that's been in the national media for about the last 6 weeks, and I'm going to answer your question, I'm not deflecting from it, has been there for the last year and a half. It only has reached the point of, say, national media attention because it became a sexy topic to talk about to distract from other topics that weren't as sexy, I would say. So these supply chain challenges are systemic, and they've been there ever since the beginning of COVID. And so as far as, you know, needing more drivers, I mean, construction's the same way. Trucking's the same way across the board. Welders, whatever the skilled profession is, we've got to have more of them. But that doesn't happen, you know, in one day or one week. That takes time to develop those skills and get the experience people need. As far as the issues that have occurred that have affected that, it's both systemic in that we have an aging, the baby boomer generation is retiring, so that's what's causing the shortage nationally. The generation behind that is small, and so this younger generation, we've done a very poor job of recruiting. And that is what is changing. And again, that's across the board for all industries, not just trucking. But on top of that, like the Biden vaccine mandate has a detrimental impact on all skilled professions, healthcare, supply chain jobs, because the implementation of that vaccine mandate has very little to do with healthcare. And the policy that was crafted by OSHA will have a detrimental effect. And you're going to see that if it were ever to be enacted. It's been stayed. Our industry's filed a lawsuit against it within the Sixth Circuit. There's a stay on that mandate going into effect. But again, that policy, if enacted, would have a devastating effect. And just the fact that it got floated out there, I believe, has had an impact on what was already a challenge before COVID.
No, I think that's probably true. And I do appreciate the fact that your industry, along with several other associations here in Alabama, have been, like, for instance, our Realtors Association led the charge on lawsuits related to the rent moratorium that was crushing landlord businesses. But that being said, Mark, let me ask you this. And we're up against we're up against a short break. So when I come back from this break, can you hang on through the break? Is that good with you, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I want to talk about getting into the industry because I recall some legislation we passed while I was in, and I want to get your perspective on how it might help with the recruiting and retention process, all of which benefits supply chain movement. All right, folks, we're on with Mark Colson with the Alabama Trucking Association, giving us perspective on what it's like in their industry right now and how they're handling and projecting, if you will, their way forward through today's economy and supply chain management. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going right back to the phones now with Mark Colson, the president and CEO for the Alabama Trucking Association. We've been talking to him about the association and all of their members and basically in the life of the supply chain issues going on in the world right now. What are they seeing? Hey, Mark, let me ask you a question before we get into training and recruiting. I just thought of something here. I got an article, pulled this off of FreightWaves magazine, and they're saying that one of the hardest things being dealt with right now, aside from recruiting and retention of drivers, is equipment, especially trailers. Are you guys seeing that in your industry right now?
It's unprecedented from the folks I've talked to that have been in the industry for 30-plus years, equipment shortage and part shortage, whether it be chips. You talk to the OEMs that manufacture the big trucks and trailers. They are backed up through 2022 based on the projections that they've got. And that's going to be a huge challenge for our industry as we go into 2022. It'll potentially limit growth. It's driven up used truck prices. There's some pretty crazy stories out there dealing with. I mean, there was a $25 chip shortage. It was a chip that cost $25 called a DEF, diesel exhaust fluid sensor, and they're on every truck. If they go out, the truck shuts down. It's an EPA regulation. Even if the diesel exhaust fluid, which reduce the emissions run through the fluid basically to reduce the carbon footprint and so any emission footprint. But if that system, if that sensor goes out, which costs $25 to replace it, the truck shuts down and you have to tow it, a perfectly good truck. And so EPA actually gave us an exemption to map around it, but it's the California Air Regulatory Board, known as CARB, drug their feet. So we were weeks and weeks with 20,000 to 50,000 trucks nationally offline just because, a sensor went out. Those sensors were going anywhere for like $2,500 to $5,000 on eBay. This is a $25.
Oh my gosh, a $25 sensor.
Those are real stories. So there's dozens of them.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Well, that was a story I didn't expect to hear, but that certainly explains some things too. But let me ask you this, Mark. I remember back when I was in the legislature, we passed a bill that allows for if you have a military certification or qualification of some type that translates into civilian employment, that you would not have to get retested, that you could come straight in and be licensed in your state. Do you know? I mean, my recollection was that also applied to truck drivers, guys who have been driving heavy equipment and trucks in the Army, per se, could come out and have their CDL. Do I recall that correctly?
You do, and then right after you, that's correct, and veterans are a huge part of our industry, and we have industry members have a concerted effort to make sure that, you know, we communicate well with the veteran community about those jobs. As you know, that's a close-knit group, but once you actually get in that community, the word of mouth message is gold, and they realize that the companies, these family-owned trucking companies and other services that provide essential services for the trucking industry are great jobs. And so also right after you left, we passed, when Alabama was one of the last states to pass for intrastate driving, meaning not crossing state lines, for 18 to 20 year olds. Currently, before, prior to that, you had to be 21 to get your CDL. Now you can get it from 18 to 20 years old. So that went into place in 2019. But insurance is a major barrier for entry level drivers. So most big trucking companies and over the road trucking companies are prohibited, or their insurance requirements for their auto liability insurance, that they say you have to have 2 or 3 years experience before you can drive this big 80,000 pound vehicle with load.
Do you have any kind of a mentorship program, or they go along with somebody?
Experience. And they do, whether it work driving for a municipal government, garbage trucks, city vans, you know, Coca-Cola, you know, Alabama Power, on down the line. But where I believe we've not done a great job in the past, and what we're currently working extremely aggressive on, I'm very excited about, is mapping that pathway for anyone who wants to become a truck driver. I've spent a lot of time with current drivers and people who are interested in getting into the profession, and you learn some things. One thing that draws people to the industry is just the adventure, right? And the adventurer, somebody who wants to see the road, wants to see the country, independent-minded. Another is an older population, anywhere from 25 or 30 to 55 years old, that has had maybe several other careers that just haven't panned out, and they're a career changer. And so they want stability, they want good benefits, and these jobs offer that across the board. And so you know, when you learn about that, you still have to be able to show that person, okay, here's the training you need, here's where you can get it, here's what you have to get done, here are resources that can help you, financial and other. And then, but here's the career path to get into those jobs. And as
cool.
A state, as an industry, we've not done a great job mapping that and communicating it. That's changing. We have a campaign that's been launched. We have some great local partners. One in your listening area, Wallace State Hansville, is a piloted area that we're working, because they have a great CDL and diesel tech program. And we're going to expand that across the state, working with the college system on it, from the chancellor on down. They have a focus on this. And so I'm really excited about some of the stuff that's in the hopper, but as you know, that stuff just takes time to produce fruit.
It does. And so does getting out of supply chain jams. But Mark, I appreciate that. I wanted to hear from your industry. And when I realized I could give you a call and say, can you get on the show, I knew I would hear some of the things that we deal with or see or get perspective on it. So Mark Carlson, Alabama Trucking Association, certainly appreciate you being on Right Side Radio today. You have a great day, man.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Talk a little bit more about supply chain, what we're seeing nationally, what's happening in other places. Is it going to keep chicken tenders from being on your menu? Oh, it might. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.